In early 1917, the original Dixieland Jazz Band made the first jazz recording. Over the next 100 years, we've heard transcendent leaps of creativity and staggering virtuosity. We have experienced the music of crushing pain, breathless romance, anger, exhilaration, and humor. This is that story. 100 years of jazz recordings. From WTJU Charlottesville, your host, Russell Perry. In the last hour, we heard evidence of Woody Herman's capacity for talent development in the form of further work by reed players Stan Getz, Serge Chaloff, Al Cohn, Zoot Sims, and Jimmy Giuffre. In this hour, we turn the spotlight on alumni of the Stan Kenton Orchestra, which produced several significant players in the West Coast cool tradition and a number of prominent vocalists in the 1950s. In his History of Jazz, Ted Gioia wrote, "For a time in the early 1950s, Stan Getz and many other leaders of the cool movement resided on the West Coast. Here, cool jazz was in the ascendancy, and its leading advocates enjoyed frequent opportunities to perform and record. This marked a stark change from the late 1940s, when a small but talented group of mostly black bebop players schooled in the clubs and after-hours spots of Central Avenue, had dominated the modern jazz scene in Los Angeles. A number of signal events marked the shift from hot to cool on the coast. Jerry Mulligan's relocation to California after the completion of the Davis-Nonet sessions created a direct link to the fertile East Coast cool movement. In addition, a host of former Stan Kenton sidemen now resided in Southern California, fueled the progressive tendency of this music, each with greater or lesser ties to the cool aesthetic." Let's start our look at Kenton alumni with a review of some of the early work by Art Pepper. Ted Gioia wrote further, "Alto saxophonist Art Pepper embodied a contradiction between the man and his music. But in the case of Pepper, his style eventually came to resemble his personality, honest, imploring, assertive, unapologetic. This marked a major change from the teenage altoist who had joined the Stan Kenton Band in 1943, brandishing a soft, almost feminine tone, a relaxed improviser whose shimmering notes danced above the roaring brass of the band. His early work, for example, Art Pepper with the Kenton Band, Over the Rainbow with Shorty Rogers, bespoke a nursery school innocence, but this placid surface could be quickly set into turbulent motion by Pepper's rapid-fire technique and dazzling ear for improvisation." Let's hear the tune Art Pepper by Stan Kenton and his orchestra from 1950, a Shorty Rogers composition, followed by Over the Rainbow by Shorty Rogers and his Giants from October of 1951.
Mm-hmm.
Kenton and his orchestra on the tune Art Pepper, and Shorty Rogers and his Giants performing Over the Rainbow, both featuring the alto saxophone of Art Pepper. Turning now to Shorty Rogers, Ted Gioia wrote, "Although the movement was never as monolithic as the term suggested, a certain convergence of aesthetic values could be seen in many of the West Coast recordings. The music was often highly structured, rebelling against the simple head charts of East Coast modern jazz, and reflecting a formalism that contrasted sharply with the spontaneity of bebop. Counterpoint and other devices of formal composition featured prominently in the music." And in the Penguin Guide to Jazz, Morton and Cook wrote, "Much influenced by the Davis, Mulligan, Lewis, Birth of the Cool, and even claiming a revisionist role in the creation of that movement, Shorty Rogers turned its basic instrumentation and lapidary arranging into a vehicle for relaxedly swinging jazz of the high order. His arrangements are among the best of the time. If they lacked the gelid precision that Lewis and Mulligan brought to Birth of the Cool, Rogers' charts combine the same intricate texture with an altogether looser jazz feel. The tracks, which made up the original 10-inch Cool and Crazy, still act as a benchmark in the appreciation of West Coast jazz, and their energy and ingenuity seem completely undimmed a half century on." While Over the Rainbow was performed by an octet, the scores for Cool and Crazy, which are collected on the LP Sweetheart of Sigmund Freud, are for a big band, composed for the best West Coast players, many of whom are alumni of the Stan Kenton Orchestra. Chiquito Loco is a complex Latin swinger, and Contours is a dense but tonally rich ballad. So let's hear those from 1953, Chiquito Loco and Contours by Shorty Rogers and his Giants.
Thank you.
Two tunes by Shorty Rogers and his Giants, Chiquito Loco and Contours, featuring, among others, Maynard Ferguson on trumpet, Art Pepper and Bud Shank on alto, Jimmy Giuffre on tenor, Marty Paich on piano, Curtis Counts on bass, and Shelly Mann on drums. When we return to Jazz at 100, we'll hear from Stan Kenton alumni, composer, arranger, baritone saxophonist, Jerry Mulligan. Welcome back to Jazz at 100 and the West Coast Jazz of the 1950s. After his part in The Birth of the Cool and a stint writing for Stan Kenton, Jerry Mulligan, as Gary Giddens writes, was an overnight phenomenon, a star. Line for Lions, My Funny Valentine, Festive Minor, and Bernie's Tune were, among several others, hugely popular records. As cool jazz became increasingly associated with the West Coast, Mulligan was often the standard by which West Coast jazz was defined. The idea that a movement had taken root was largely a fabrication of the press and entrepreneurs eager to cash in on the first sign of a saleable musical commodity. While Mulligan recorded with Chet Baker for less than a year from mid-1952 to mid-1953, his frontline collaborators would forever be compared to the trumpeter. This was especially true of Art Farmer. As Morton and Cook write, Farmer doesn't quite have the lyrical poignancy of Chet Baker in this setting, but he has a full, deep-chested tone, soon to be transferred to flugelhorn, which combines well with Mulligan's baritone. What Is There to Say was Mulligan's first recording for Columbia. It's very direct, very unfussy, very focused on the leader, a small masterpiece of controlled invention. Mulligan's solos fit into the structure of As Catch Can and Festive Minor as if they were machine-tooled. Farmer responds in kind with smooth legato solos and delicate fills. From 1958 and the Columbia LP, What Is There to Say, As Catch Can and Festive Minor by the Jerry Mulligan Quartet.
Thank you. Thank you.
Two tunes by the Jerry Mulligan Quartet, As Catch Can and Festive Minor. Coming from the most bombastic of big bands, it's a little unsettling how gentle the music of Frank Rossellino can be. Morton and Cook wrote, "Frank Rossellino played with Kenton from 1952 to 55, where he showed himself to be a trombonist of great invention, superb tone, and unusual facility. In 1958, he recorded his greatest record, Free for All. His version of Hoagy Carmichael's Stardust is simply inspired, a recording whose technical mastery has a super-added element of expressive magic. It's a happy, flowing session." So here is Stardust by the Frank Rossellino Quartet. Frank Rossellino on trombone, Victor Feldman piano, Leroy Vinegar on bass, Stan Levy on drums, from Free For All in 1958. Stardust by the Frank Rosolino Quartet. We will return to Jazz at 100 in a moment and the music of vocalists Anita O'Day, June Christie, and Chris Connor. Thank you. Welcome back to Jazz at 100 and the West Coast Jazz of alumni of Stan Kenton's orchestra. Perhaps the best-known singer in the Kenton band was Anita O'Day. Of O'Day, Morton and Cook write, "With Stan Kenton, she gave a humane edge to a sometimes pretentious modernist repertoire. O'Day's demanding style had few successful imitators, but she is the most immediate source for June Christie and Chris Connor, who followed her in the Kenton band. Anita O'Day Sings the Most is O'Day's best showing on record by a stretch. Her sparky personality comes through even on the ballads, including a strangely moving Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered right at the end of the set. Them Their Eyes is taken ridiculously fast and is the kind of performance that used on occasions to trip up her groups. Here, though, pianist Oscar Peterson is equal to anything she throws at him." From 1957, and the LP Anita O'Day Sings the Most, Bewitched, Bothered, and Bewildered, and Them Their Eyes.
I'm wild again, beguiled again, a whimpering, simpering child again, bewitched, bothered, and bewildered, am I? I couldn't sleep and wouldn't sleep, for love came and told me I shouldn't sleep. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Lost my heart, but what of it? He is cold, I agree. He can laugh, but I love it, although the laugh's on me. I'll sing to him each spring to him, and long for the day when I'll cling to him. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. What of it? He is cold, I agree. He can laugh, but I love it, although the laugh's on me. I'll sing to him each spring to him, and long for the day when I'll cling to him. Bothered and bewildered am I. Bewitched, bothered, and bewildered am I. Thank you.
first time I looked into them eyes. You've got a funny little way of flirting in them eyes. They make me feel happy, how they make me feel blue. Falling the great big way, for you've got my heart to jump and start at something. You better look out, boy, if you're wise. Sparkle, bubble, they get you in the hole. Lot of trouble in their eyes. I fell in love with you when I saw those eyes. A funny little way of flirting them their eyes. Make me happy, make me blue. Spark a bubble, fall in a great big way for you. Got my heart a jump and started something. Look out if you're wise. Spark a bubble, got you in a whole lot of trouble. But Mr. talking about those eyes, those eyes. Those eyes.
Two tunes from Anita O'Day, Bewitched, Bothered and Bewildered, and Them Their Eyes. June Christie was Anita O'Day's successor in the Kenton Band and brought a similar, husky, breathy style to the repertoire. Arranger Pete Ruggolo came to the band shortly after and developed a new book for Christie, which led to best-selling hits. After Kenton, the two continued to collaborate on projects like the LP Misty, Miss Christie. In the notes to the Smithsonian Jazz Singers set, Martin Williams wrote, "Christie gained her greatest acclaim in the 40s, winning Downbeat's top female singer in 1946, 47, 48, and 50. For my money, though, her later Kind of Blue, Birth of the Cool pieces, such as For All We Know, were her most jazz-tempered and most lasting work." Williams wrote further, "The third of the outstanding singers from the Stan Kenton Band was Chris Connor, who took the lessons of the predecessors and shaped them into artistic forms unmistakably her own. On Angel Eyes, Connor is at her finest. She uses her deep, breathy alto to solo evocatively through the Ralph Burns arrangement like a cool sax player. This was a voice, like the instrumental voices of the cool jazz players, that was made for the modern microphone and the then new hi-fi recording equipment, which detected its powers even at the quietest, after-set levels of intimacy, when Connor's voice seems to whisper sing directly into the listener's ear." From the LP Misty, Miss Christie, let's hear June Christie performing For All We Know. And from Chris Connor's disc, He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not, Angel Eyes.
For all we know, we may never meet again. This moment sweet again.
I'll hold out my hand and my heart will be in it for this may only be a dream. We come and go like a ripple in a stream. So I try to think that love's not around. Still, it's uncomfortably near. My old heart ain't gaining no ground because my angel eyes ain't here. Angel eyes, that old devil sent, they glow unbearably bright. Need I say that my love's misspent on angel eyes tonight. So drink up, all you people, order anything you see. For the drink and the laughs on me, pardon me, but I've got to run. The facts uncommonly clear. I've got to find who's now number one and why my angel eyes ain't here.
Excuse me while I disappear.
June Christie performing For All We Know, and Chris Connor performing Angel Eyes. While bebop was giving way to a lighter, more reflective music in California, New York was the heart of a move to a more rhythmic and even funky evolution of bebop in the form of hard bop with overtones of gospel, a soloist's music. This music could be heavy, dark, and impassioned. In the next hour of Jazz at 100, the birth of hard bop with music from Horace Silver, Art Blakey, Clifford Brown, and Miles Davis. You have been listening to Jazz at 100, a celebration of 100 years of jazz recordings produced by WTJU Charlottesville and made possible in part through a grant from the Virginia Endowment for the Humanities. For annotated playlists and additional resources, go to WTJU.net/Jazz100. There you can also stream any programs in the series that you may have missed. This is your host, Russell Perry. Thanks for joining us.